Let's get down to business, taking a look at Wall Street. Dow Jones Industrial Average up 25 to close at 22,118. It's another record high close for the Dow Jones Industrial Average. Didn't think it was possible, did you? Yet another record high close for the Dow Jones Industrial Average, and whenever there is a record high close, we have a celebration at the Money Radio Megaplex. Money Radio staff gathers in the control room. The Money Radio Symphonic Orchestra plays the celebratory theme music. And who do we got today? Doreen, Renee, James. Where's Josh? Okay, don't know. Wes and Jeffrey joining in. RC is recuperating. We wish him the best. And the ubiquitous Crespin. Good to see you, sir. We are with Crespin today. Who else is joining us? Kevin, good to see you, sir. Anybody else? Where is everybody? Huh. Okay. And if, well, look at that. They've already lit the candles. Boom, just like that, candles are lit. They're standing there at the ready. This is what happens when you have nine consecutive record-high closes for the Dow Jones Industrial Average. First of all, not as many people are participating anymore because, hey, how many cookies can they eat after all? But second, the staff that is there, the core, they have become incredibly efficient. You're ready to roll. Okay. There they go, down the hallway, headed to the Money Radio Bistro, where today they will enjoy a lovely selection. I wouldn't say lovely selection, but a nice selection of chocolate chip cookies and Thin Mints. Now, they're not Girl Scout Thin Mints, but they're Thin Mints, and they're good. Somebody emailed me over the weekend and said, you must have put on a few pounds with all of the cookies and milk celebrations. They're just gone. I mean, they were out the door that fast. Anyway, the email asked if I had been putting on some weight because of all the cookies and milk, and the answer is no. I have not put on extra weight because of the celebrations, because by the time I get down there, yeah, it's all gone. Crumbs, that's all that's left for me. We celebrate with milk and cookies as the Dow hits a ninth record high close in a row. Up 25 at 22,118. S&P 500 up 4 at 2,480. Not a record, but good. NASDAQ up 32 at 6,383. Russell 2000 up 1 to finish at 14.14. Yield on the 10-year Treasury down 1 basis point at 2.26%. Oil down 27 cents at $49.31 per barrel. Gold down $1.10 at $12.58.30 an ounce. Dow hit an early morning intraday high, dipped into negative territory, then hit a fresh intraday high, then just kind of drifted into the close. Good enough. We have a low inflation environment, low interest rates. Corporate earnings have come in incredibly well. Analysts, on average, expect S&P 500 earnings to have expanded 12% in the second quarter. And they're now projecting earnings up 9.3% for the third quarter. The S&P is up about 11% this year, trading at 18 times expected earnings, compared to its 10-year average of about 14 times expected earnings. So how long can the Dow Industrials keep hitting all-time highs? Who knows? But the markets never follow a straight line. Eventually, this will end. Maybe tomorrow, maybe not. The streak comes as August trading gets underway, and with September looming, historically, two of the worst months for investors. So if you have cash, there really is no reason to rush out and buy at these levels, especially if you think there'll be a sale next week. Friday's July employment report showed job growth at 209,000, well above estimates for 180,000 new jobs. The unemployment rate fell to 4.3% in July. That's a decline of 0.1% from June and a 16-year low. Goldman Sachs economists say the outlook for jobs is even better than they thought. They think unemployment could go as low as 3.8% by next year. The firm's economist, in a note over the weekend, talked about a labor market overshoot, with the trend in job growth remaining in the 150,000 to 200,000 range per month. Looking at such measurements as the long-term unemployment rate, job openings and quits, and reports of skill shortages, Goldman analysts say the labor market is about as tight as in the full employment years of 2006 and 1989, though not yet as overheated as in 2000. They expect the wage growth to finally tick up to around 3% by the end of the year. The economist said it appears the labor market is likely to overshoot full employment. That's a condition that has resulted in recessions in the past. Even so, they're sticking with their forecast for Fed rate hikes, saying our subjective probability of a hike by the December meeting remains around 60%. And the baseline for 2018 through 2019 is quarterly hikes. The dollar drifted slightly lower today. St. Louis Fed President James Bullard said the Fed can leave interest rates where they are for now because inflation is not likely to rise much, even if the job market continues to improve. Minneapolis Fed President Neel Kashkari, at a speech in South Dakota today, took a shot at companies saying they have worker shortages, arguing that workers are available if pay is higher. Kashkari said, if you're not raising wages, then it just sounds like whining. Kashkari also said that reducing immigration to the U.S. will reduce economic growth. Total consumer credit increased $12.4 billion in June to a record seasonally adjusted $3.86 trillion, posting an average annual growth rate of 3.9%. The historical main source of credit growth, non-revolving credit that covers loans for education and cars and such, rose at an annual rate of 4.9% in June, down from 8.2% in May. Revolving credit, that's mostly credit card loans, increased at an annual rate of 3.9% in June, but that's down from 5.7% in May. The UN Security Council Saturday imposed its toughest round of sanctions yet against North Korea over its two intercontinental ballistic missile tests back in July. The sanctions could further choke North Korea's economy by cutting its $3 billion annual export revenue by about a third. At a summit of Southeast Asian countries, Secretary of State Rex Tillerson held a door open for dialogue, saying Washington was willing to talk to North Korea if it halted a series of recent missile test launches. In a statement today, North Korea said it would never place its nuclear program on the negotiating table as long as the U.S. maintained a hostile policy against the North. German healthcare provider Fresenius is making a big push into the U.S. market, buying home dialysis company Next Stage for $30 per share, deal valued at about $2 billion. Shares were up 28% on the news. United Technologies has submitted an offer for aircraft parts maker Rockwell Collins. Rumors that Rockwell Collins has been working with an investment bank sent the stock up 4%. United Technologies did not comment on the news. Berkshire Hathaway Friday reported a 15% drop in second quarter profit, missed estimates. Lower investment gains and a loss from insurance underwriting offset improvement in its BNSF railroad business. Berkshire ended June with about $99.7 billion of cash and equivalents. On semiconductor, up 4.6%, stronger than expected second quarter earnings and revenue. Tyson Foods reported stronger than expected quarterly results, sending its shares up 5%, said it would ramp up chicken production in the face of record demand from U.S. consumers. CBS, owner of the most-watched U.S. TV network, reported a 9.4% rise in second quarter revenue, driven by higher content licensing and subscription fees. Marriott International will partner with China's Alibaba Group to tap into the growing number of Chinese citizens who travel abroad. World's biggest hotel chain said the joint venture with Alibaba would allow Chinese travelers to book rooms at Marriott hotels via Alibaba's travel service platform, Fliggy. The partnership will connect Marriott and Alibaba's loyalty programs. Tourists would be able to pay for their bookings using Alibaba's online payments platform, Alipay. Marriott has about 300 hotels in China and 300 more in the pipeline. Last week, Tesla announced its quarterly numbers. Once again, Tesla announced a quarterly loss. As the company ramps up production capacity for the Model 3, it is burning through cash at a prodigious pace. So, once again, Tesla is raising money, but this time not issuing more shares of stock. Tesla will try to raise about $1.5 billion through its first-ever high-yield junk bond offering. Standard & Poor's reaffirmed its negative outlook for the automaker, assigned a B-minus rating for the bond issue. That's deep in junk credit territory. Apple's iPhone 8 has gone to mass production, according to reports. Smartphone likely to meet launch in September, and one of the new features will include augmented reality, AR, essentially a graphical overlay of CGI or computer-generated imagery. We've seen that in movies for years. Elements are overlaid onto real-world elements, typically generated by a video feed. So here's what that means. If you want to buy a new chair for your living room, you could take a photo of the living room and the chair and then see how the chair looks in your living room. Or how about this? For hundreds of years, maybe thousands, the only way to measure the room was with a tape measure. The new iPhone has a virtual tape measure, very handy for measurements where that tape measure just can't reach. Dow Industrial's up 25 at 22,118. It's a record. S&P 500 up 4 at 2480. NASDAQ Composite up 32 at 6383. As always, we invite you to follow along at moneyradio.com, live streaming and archived audio, and the daily blog, eatthebankers.com.